Members, everyone, we are going to go ahead and start. I know we're behind the eight ball because we are 40 minutes late in getting started, and we're going to try and make up some of the time because, unfortunately, almost everybody up here today has come from somewhere else, and that makes it difficult. So we're going to do the best we can to get through it. So I will move House File 2699. Which Representative Saylor, do you wish to address your bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And yes, I do have that delete all amendment, which I believe I handed in to you last week. Okay.
Have you got it?
And that was just to bring it in conformity with the Senate version. I would like to introduce the folks that will be testifying, and that would be Monty Hammett and Stuart Bajarli, the superintendent. And we're coming again before this committee and before the bonding committee because we really need to finish up the work on the renovations at the Red Lake School. They've been doing this sort of piecemeal for a number of years, always working in conjunction with the State Finance Department. And the problems that exist when you build in one year and then a couple years later with heating systems not matching up and electrical system, it actually ends up costing considerably more and causing a number of problems, which I believe our testifiers will be speaking about. So I would just like to move this forward and have our testifiers answer any questions that you might have. Thank you.
Representative Saylor, as far as I can tell, the main thing you've done is get rid of the dollar amounts in the bill?
That's correct.
What is the reason for that?
The reason for that was to come into conformity with the Senate bill that our Senator Rod Scully has. We wanted to have both of the bills together, and that, and there were also just a few other names of some of the buildings on here that weren't on the other one. Just, it was just clarification, and all it does is bring it in conformity, that's all. The substance of the bill is exactly the same.
Except you don't ask for a specific dollar amount.
I'm not, but our testifiers will be doing that.
Okay. Who is starting, Mr. Hammett or Mr. Desjardins? Superintendent, are you the first?
Yes, I am.
All right.
I want to thank the committee for inviting, allowing us this opportunity to present our proposal, our bonding proposal. And Chairman and just the committee. Again, we sit before you on a bonding bill for the Red Lake School District. Many things have happened in the Red Lake School District since I last appeared before in this room here. And one of the things we need to recognize is that we continue to provide and meet with state legislators in ensuring that adequate buildings, adequate programs are provided to the students within the Red Lake School District. Red Lake School District is a Title I school. So within the last 5 years, we've been under AYP. But we got out of it. We got out of it through Panema Elementary School, and then last year we were taken off. Last year we had one of our largest graduating classes, in fact, the largest graduating class in the history of the Red Lake schools. We had 92 graduates. We're looking at 82 graduates this year. And one of the things that No Child Left Behind, which Red Lake is under due to Title I, there's a maintenance and a preservation of existing buildings and new buildings within the district as part of meeting the needs for the students that attend. We have a number of buildings within our school district now that one was built in 1949, another 1956, and as I mentioned last year before the bonding committees, you know, we've had mold problems, we've had water problems, furnace problems within these buildings, within mainly the two buildings that I'm talking about today is the high school and the middle school. inadequate facilities, inadequate boiler systems, you know, create days lost to school for students, days that we cannot recover. Red Lake School District is a students at risk district. Students at risk because of, due to a number of problems, alcohol, drugs, family illiteracy. What we try to do in Red Lake School District is we're trying to save children, save students, and not have them fall in the path of their parents who have dropped out, who have left the school at a young age, who have not gotten, you know, very little education, work experience. And we fought hard the last 10 years to fight in fighting this problem within the Red Lake School District. And buildings is an important part of it. One of the first things I told the Board of Education when I was hired was that we would build buildings for the kids to come. We would build buildings so the kids can take an interest, ownership in them. A lot of my students within the Red Lake School District, they look at the buildings we have, the older parts, and they don't take ownership in it. They do not take ownership in those buildings because some of the rooms leak. We have to evacuate part of the building because of a mold problem. Water seeping through the hall, through the walls. Because 1956 is when that old elementary was built there. So we, the Board of Education and Red Lake School District, believe that if we provide the buildings, the students will come back. And we've seen immense enrollment in our population with the elementary, within the elementary school, and the early childhood school that we built at that beginning of this bonding phase, of this building phase. We're looking at 182 births last year within the Red Lake Nation. 182 that we have to make plans for in 3 years from now, where they're going to attend, what they're going to do, how much rooms they're going to have. Like any other school district in the state of Minnesota, you know, we don't want overcrowding. We want to limit class sizes. We don't want class sizes with 30, 35 students in a class. Look at family literacy within the Red Lake Nation. As part of this bonding bill, it addresses family literacy. It addresses family building. In a portion of the remodeling in the buildings that we ask for, the building construction that we plan on doing. I'd like to turn this over to Monty Hammett. He's been a consultant for the Red Lake School District in a bonding phase since 2000, and we started this trip.
Mr. Hammett.
Yes, Madam Chair. Thank you very kindly. Thank you, Superintendent DeJarlie and Representative Saylor. Thank you. I also want to mention that, Madam Chair, that we also have our chairman of our school board here, Arnold Pemberton, Donovan English, Dolores Cloud Hammett, and we have the DLR group with architects and the construction management with Klaus Anderson here. Madam Chair and representatives, it's a great pleasure for us to be here, and I want to, first of all, take this opportunity to thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Demmer, Representative Greeling, and the staff that come to Red Lake to see us and visit with us to go through. We just thank you very, very kindly for taking time out of your busy schedule so you could see firsthand what our problems are and what we're trying to do at Red Lake. Let me go back just a portion for those who may not be familiar. Red Lake is an independent school district and become an independent school district in 1926. And throughout the history of this, of the school district was primarily financed and taken care of through impact aid statements that had come down from the federal government, which is a derivative out of the U.S. Armed Services, where they provided schools and functions on military reservations across the nation, and they treated the Indian reservations the same in providing impact aid for schools and operational costs. That's where, yeah, when that have dried up as it has dried up practically to nothing, then we had no other alternatives but to look to our public school system in the state of Minnesota and the legislative body, because we don't have a tax base to be able to generate like other school districts do. So that's kind of a brief history. In 2002, in our expansion and going through this, the legislative bodies of both the House and Senate, and come out of the Capital Investment Committees, the conference committees, awarded the school district $12.4 million, of which they also put in there as a condition that the school district do a master plan of facilities and the needs of the school district, and identified that as $500,000. Well, we delivered that master plan of facilities in October of 2003 to the legislative leaders of both the House and the Senate, which they should have. Those are constituted in Volume 1 and Volume 2 of the master plan, of which we also went into doing the operational financials all the way through to 2013 to make sure it was a feasible project and feasible to be undertaking for the district in terms of the budgetary aspects that go along with adding facilities.
Mr. Hammond, when you made that master plan that goes well out into the future, did you consider the growing population?
Madam Chair, representatives, yes, we did, and you'll see that in your review and comment, the projections of the number of students is projected within that review and comment for the population figures. We are a little bit off on this last year, though. We didn't anticipate 182 births. We were anticipating somewhere in the 165 to 170 birth category, which we had, I think it was 175 in 2003, I think it was. I have those figures. But it was 175 in 2004. And 182 last year, and that's up from 2,000 of 161. So this is driven by the population base in the students that we have coming up into the system, which is there now. Our Head Starts, it cannot accompany, and I think we shared this with you is when you were there, we can't accompany all of the 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds, so they take the oldest group, the 4-year-olds, and half of the and the 3-year-olds don't get in until 1 year later. And they are only taking, like, I think it's 150 students a max, which they can have in their capacity, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Going through this process, and I don't know how much time we have being of the order, but I think it would be important for us to look at. You have a handout that's a colored handout in your packets. It looks like this. Maybe we can. Did I get the one right upside? Is it on the right side?
Yep.
Okay. This shows, Madam Chair, we're back in 2000, where we started with the Early Childhood Center and ads on the Panema Elementary and Red Lake High School. 2002, in the next column, you'll see up at the top there, we had a request in for $40.1 million, which would have taken care of the early childhood, the elementary, the middle school, high school, and the project would have been totally completed if we could have stuck to that figure in that year. However, we know that the funding was not available, only an amount of 12.4. So when you look at the chart there and what Superintendent DeGarley is looking at, we were able to add on classrooms to the early childhood, added on to the south wing of our elementary school, and at Panema Elementary we added a block of classrooms on that, and at the high school we did some intensive remodeling in the special ed area, and then added around 13 additional classrooms and science rooms on that. Now, we had a major problem, which you're all aware of, about a year ago. In the reconstruction of that, We received in the school district $455,000 from the Justice Department. The requirements to accept that had to be that new addition where the tragedy has occurred had to be totally reconfigured. So we lost all but one classroom out of that in the reconfiguration of that facility. So that brought us down. We lost basically seven classrooms. So we now are back in, but as one of the things with our master plan that did do and has done, what you're seeing now in the next phase is almost where we come in our original phase, because we had planned in 2006 to turn that into administrative offices. We had walls in there that were knocked out walls. They weren't permanent walls. They weren't structured walls. So it's falling somewhat into place with all the things that have happened during that period. In 2005, as you know, the Bonney Bill didn't get out in 2004. It was carried over to 2005. And to finish our entire project then, we requested $33.2 million. And of course, you know, as of last year, the committees and the governor signed off awarding us $18 million. Again, we're back to renovation. We're back to adding new classrooms. We're back to taking a look at the whole process, going back and adjusting our master plan of the facilities to reflect these. So under the 2005, you're seeing that we're flip-flopped, of which we had originally planned, the high school, middle school, and putting those rooms in, putting additional high school rooms in, adding a boiler room in there, and adding the special education rooms, and we are going to bid on that on the 15th of the, or what's the date? 13th of this month we're going to bid, and hopefully open bids on the 20th of April, or right there close to that date.
And Mr. Hammett, that is for which schools?
That is for if you look on your yellow sheet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm saying yellow because the distance on there is what's going to be added to the facility.
Mm-hmm.
On the left is the new middle school, to your left looking down at the paper.
Right.
Those are the classrooms, and on the right, far right, you're going to see those are high school classrooms that are being added on, and down in the center, those are the new special ed rooms that need to be added, and tying into that with the Title IV and the others to make it as a complete composite project is. Without having to do a Title IV standalone building, we can meet the requirements and the regs from the state and federal government by tying it in and having a separate entity within that system. Now, it brings us up to the 2006, and Madam Chairman and representatives, I would like to request that we put that number back in your jacket or in your bill. That's the 55. The 55,383, and this figure, Madam Chair and Representatives, comes from what we had put together and give to the State Department of Education.
Mr. Hammett, hold up for a minute. Is there somebody on the committee who would like to make that motion that we put the money back in the bill that we just took out a minute ago? All right. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right.
Thank you very kindly.
Okay.
What we also included in your packet, and we thought it's very, very important, we've spent many hours working with the State Department of Education, the State Department of Finance, and we thought it would be appropriate, Madam Chair, and you have this as in your packet, is the summary and the recommendations and the things of which the State Department of Education has put together in using that figure of what they have and to tell us about the projects and the amount and what the references are. We plan on using this also in the Senate side, so there's continuity between all committees as to what the Red Lake project will be. And we think that's extremely important. You also have your review and comment and your Phase 4 document that is available, and I think you got an updated that, Madam Chair. And so This brings us up then to try to finish the entire operation. Now, what does this mean out of this, the 55? That means, looking at your sheet again, we will be able to put the classrooms together that are necessary, expand and put in a cafeteria and a physical a nature for the elementary, tying the Red Lake Elementary and the early childhood projects together. If you look at 2-5 and 2-6, you can see where they'd be tied together at in the yellow block. That will meet the needs and will accommodate the up to, I believe it is, 10 sections of kindergarten, first grade in that area. Now, down in the second block, you have the Panema School, which is an added on to the media center in the Panema area, and adding on a classroom addition to the media center for their support services. Down at the bottom, the major part of this project is back to the high school, middle school. It's finishing up the middle school totally, and then adding a cafeteria that will serve both the middle school and the high school, eliminating duplication, establishing a heating system, electrical system that will serve both schools in an efficient and effective manner to reduce the energy costs for the future years of the school district, and the renovation of the high school, adding the particular projects and programs and support services, the auto mechanics and and community events areas for community activities, to have those as dual used rooms. So if the community wants to come in and use them in the evening, the school is open for their use. These projects, they're also identified in the fiscal analysis and budget analysis, which you have in your book in section 4, ties in and goes the elaborate, the square footage, the classroom, gives you the detailed analysis of what is we're requesting there, Madam Chair and committee members.
Okay, and I think they can all look at that. And thank you. Did you wish Dolores Cloud to testify?
Do you have anything? You want to say anything to say?
Okay. Are there questions for members of the committee? Are there questions for either of the gentlemen from members of the committee? Mr. Day, Superintendent, or Mr. Hammond? Representative Grilling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And if this has been answered, I can talk later, but I notice on the sheet from the Department of Education that there's $10 million in 1992, $11 million in 2000, $12 million in 2002, and $18 million in 2005. And when I had a chance to visit there, I noticed, when talking to people, it sounded as if it was very much increasing costs by doing it so piecemeal. I know my own district, before I came to the legislature, had a $48 million bond, which at the time was the largest in the state, to do a lot of work, and we did it all at once by, contracting in mass quantities, economies of scale and that sort of thing. And I wonder if you could talk about, what your original projections were for these projects versus how much the costs have increased because of having to do it in so many stages. And I was particularly struck with the electrical systems, and talking to one of the principals where she said she had to call two different contractors to fix different things that might go wrong with the building because somebody else had the low bid the next time. And but that for her was a real time eater, though, to figure out which contractor was the one to call and then get them there, whereas if something else went wrong, it had to be the other one. It just seemed like this doing it piecemeal was very was causing a lot of problems. In addition, I wonder about the costs increasing because of going so slow.
Madam Chair and Representative
Mr. Hammond.
Yes, the cost. If you go back and if you look at your sheet again, we projected $40.1 million would have totally taken care of the district for 25, 30 years or better. You got Fall 4 out of there. Inflationary is a big factor. We don't include and calculate the inflationary factors. We leave that when we do our review and comment. We leave that to the which the department head sends over to the Department of Finance, and we use the Department of Finance's figures, which we get from them to figure in the inflationary figures. And if you look in our projections under tab 4, you'll see those figures projected from the Department of Finance all the way through to 2008-2009 using a 8.6% figure is what they recommended that we use. The other thing is on November 17, 2004, sat in on the Senate Capital Investment Committee's hearing, which the Department of Finance, Lee Merkins and Peter Dawson testified in terms of this, and I think it was a good experience for us here. And Lee came in, they had construction costs went up considerably in the labor market, the cost of steel and the cost of products went up considerably in those areas, and they went from the end of the Bonding Hill session, which didn't get passed in 2004, from May until this November 17th, it was 8.6%. One of the other things that Madam Chair represented is that I was talking with Lee afterwards, and that is we also have a geographic cost factor, because we're around 70 miles with a load of concrete. We're from Panema, we're over 100 miles with a load of concrete and for delivery. When we get contractors coming out of the cities at their little bids, they still factor in hotel rooms, they factor in mileage and travel. We just found out here about 2 months ago, our local cement plant in Bemidji now is factoring in the gasoline figuring costs or the rising costs for gas, the additional time, and the time after he spent on the road.
So, Mr. Hammock, between 2002 and 2006, combining the 54 and 18, it's $72 million versus $40 million to do your project.
That is correct, Madam Chair. That's why 55 would keep it out of here for 30, 40 years.
Is that a promise?
Yes. I won't be here around.
All right, that's a promise. You heard it? It's on tape. All right, any other questions from members of the committee? Representative Demmer was next, and then Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Actually, I have two questions. One, nice to see you again, Mr. Hammett, Superintendent Desjarlais. One of the questions I have relates to a comment that you made to us when we were there, Superintendent, regarding the number of graduates. I think you had a high number of graduates last year for your district, and that's a good thing. One of the things I'd like to ask about is looking at the information we have, and you have a lot of students open enrolling out of the district now. And could you comment on your enrollment at the high school versus elementary, what that looks like, and what your graduation looks like going forward?
Mr. Desjarlais.
We have the...
Mr. Hammett.
Madam Chair, we have the document of the total number of students in our school district as of November 1st, 2005. That went in for the impact aid statement here about a month ago. We pulled the current as of February 23rd, 2006, Red Lake Elementary, and we have those breakdowns. We'll be glad to share those with you. We had a total of kindergarten through fifth grade as of in the classroom on February 23rd, 2006, 590 students. That doesn't include the Head Starts. In the Red Lake High School on November 1st, we had 321. We had ALC at 74. TLC at 30.
TLC was...
Well, I'd like to think what it means is tender loving care, but...
Well, right, but...
that's the behavioral
class. How do we call
it
TLC program? What is TLC?
Students with behavioral problems.
That's special ed.
Yeah, somewhere, but no, it's not special ed.
Okay.
When's our Department of Ed people help me out with that? Huh?
Behavioral
program. So, yeah. Learning center, last two.
So they're not in the ALC, they're in another...
No, it's not the ALC, okay. Not a part of it. And then we had the 500 in Red Lake Middle School, 208 students at 590, as I mentioned, the elementary. Red Lake early childhood is 138. And Red Lake, that was the kindergarten, 138. And 191 students in Panema School District. And we had 5 students in the group home. Now, the special education, which were paid out, paid tuition out of the district for, we had 10 students there. Plus the regular tuition students, we had 8 of those students.
Yeah, we had...
That was a total of 1,475 students, Madam Chair, Representative Turner.
But did that answer your question, Representative Turner?
Yeah, I'm as interested in the numbers. That's good. What's the trend going? I know with the events last year, there's been some concerns about the school, the kids that have open enrolled out. Can you give us a feel for what you had before the event and then after the event, and what were you going today?
Yeah, Madam Chair.
Mr. Desjardins.
We did offer open enrollment after the March 21st tragedy. And out of that, I think there's only about 8 kids, 8 families that took up that offer with the surrounding school district in Black Duck, Clearbrook. Before March 21st, we did have quite a high open enrollment count leaving the district, over about 200. A lot of them were going to Bemidji. But in talking with the Bemidji superintendent, Superintendent Hess down there, there was about almost 800 students open enrollment from Bemidji going out. So we didn't feel too bad, you know, because Bemidji was losing so much. But after March 21st, we did see an increase at first. But now, with the beginning of the school year, we had quite a few of those students come back to Red Lake. In fact, we had some students who had dropped out return. And that reflects in the count that we have right now, the student count. And that's still open. You know, any student at the high school or middle school who wants to open enroll out can. We will not block it. And that's the agreement with the superintendents from the surrounding schools. And they've been very helpful in that and supportive of that. I'll be meeting with them Friday again to present the plan for next year.
All right. Thank you very much. Representative Erickson, your last question.
Thank you, Chair Sikora. Any one of you, but maybe Superintendent, are you tracking your early childhood education program to see what difference that's making when the children enter first kindergarten, first, second grade?
Madam Chairman, none.
Superintendent.
Yes, we are. We track throughout the elementary school into the middle school. Tracking consists of home visits. If a school, especially in the elementary, early grades, kindergarten, preschool, if the student is showing absentee problem at that age, there are home visits conducted, meetings with the families, you know, to try to straighten out the attendance problem that the kid is experiencing. Sometimes it boils down to the kid is just so immature that, you know, it's best maybe they don't go to school that year, you know, because of the immaturity level that they do have. And a number of students, by the time they're at the third grade level, they have overcome this problem. And they're regular students. They're into the grade level. They're into the assignments, into the reading program that we have. You see these kids after school in activities, you know. And
just one follow-up, Madam Chair. Superintendent, at the high school level, are you seeing an increase in your achievement levels? I know that a new building might make an attitude change, but are you seeing some difference in the learning habits of your children and the desire to seek post-secondary education so that they're looking at raising those scores, because you have a very low percentage of students passing the basic skills, or did?
Well, last year, 2 years ago, we seen a dramatic increase in our basic skill scores. In fact, it is one of the largest increases that we have seen. You know, I think we had a 67% pass, which is very, very good. It didn't place us at the bottom. It placed us at a level that I myself and the Board of Education is not satisfied with. And as we go on through the year, you know, we offer remedial programs. We offer, we've instituted a program called A-Plus Lab. It's a reading and math tutorial program. We've helped high school kids maintain, encourage them to stay after school. Test scores are rising in the Red Lake School District.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, one last thing. Somebody was curious. In the event you were to get $10 million, which the governor recommended, what would you do with that $10
million? Well, Madam Chairman, we'll be back here next year. 2 years from now.
Oh, we know that.
$10 million, you know, we don't even want, we want to just leave the committee up here, you know, the $55.3 million. We talked about what we would do with $10 million, $20 million, $30 million, but we as a group decided, no, we're going to stick with $55.3. We'll see what we get at the end, and if it's less than that, then we'll make our plans.
Representative Stemmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As in a related question, Madam Chair, if you could answer for Mr. Hammett, and these diagrams are very helpful. They were helpful when we visited. They're helpful now, and I get a good visualization.
Thanks.
The thing that occurs to me is we do have three distinct projects within your overall request. Can you break those out for us in terms of the relative costs?
Sure.
Oh, it's in the book.
Oh, is it?
And Madam Chair, if you'd like to follow on tab 4.
Yep.
Page 106, and this is what we shared when you were there, Representative Ben. Panini Elementary, the remodeling, estimated at $2.9 million. The high school additions and remodeling at $29.8 million. The Red Lake Elementary addition and remodeling at $23.5 million. Madam Chair, maybe I could just think there's something I think that falls in line here with the questions that Representative Erickson brought up, and I'd like to have our architect, Mr. Tom Miller, kind of address this and say why some, or Troy Miller, why some of these costs are different. And you're going to see what we've added to the curriculum for the students to help them bring up.
All right, this must be very quick because we have three other bills we're supposed to be hearing. I'm sorry that we end up rushed. It was not my idea. It goes. Thank you. Oh, you need the microphone, yes.
To add a little bit of clarity on some of the questions regarding student performance, one of the hurdles and one of the struggles that we observed when we started working with the Red Lake Public Schools in terms of quality of facilities was the fact that before the $12.4 million work was completed, there was not a science lab in the district. So a lot of kids that were looking to be college bound or look for opportunities above and beyond, you know, what Red Lake Public Schools had to offer, those were the kids that were open enrolling out of the district. Mm-hmm. And what we saw was a lot of kids sticking around and remaining in Red Lake Public School as those amenities were added. There was no music program or music curriculum at all within the district when we arrived in 2000. That has changed now with the cultural room and some of the musical programs with regard to drum beating and some more traditional cultural curriculum that helps kids grasp it and better understand how those things apply and can be applied to life on the reservation as well as life off the reservation. And so I wanted to touch base on that, letting the committee know that as the facilities are being improved, those opportunities are there for kids to remain at Red Lake Public School, which ultimately helps improve test scores for the entire population of student body, as well as encourage kids to stick around because the facilities and the amenities are there.
Thank you very much.
Madam Chair, may I make one more comment to that new stuff that was added is that we got a new superintendent, born and raised in Red Lake, in high school and elementary.
All right.
He was one of my former students. Now I'm learning from him. Thank you very kindly.
All right, we have one more question. It's the last one. Representative Breiling, as brief as you can be, please.
I'll try. I know, speaking of, there's somebody here from the department, I wonder if I could ask them a question. I noticed that the request from the department changed from original, it was a different request, and I wondered why that changed, if anyone is here from the department that could address Bomstead.
Madam Chair.
Go ahead, Ms. Bomstead.
My name is Audrey Bomstead. The initial request, due to the timing, needed to be completed at a point in time we had received the review and comment. So when I completed that request, I was working from the master planning document and put those costs in so that we, as much as had a placeholder, was not using inflation in those numbers. So it was done to a large extent without close cooperation of the district because we had not seen the exact project at that point in time. That was completed by June 15th, and the review and comment was due on June 30th.
So the second request is more accurate from your...
That's right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bomstead.
Thank you.
And I think... I hope you don't feel you were cut short today, but I think we need to move along.
Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome, Mr.
All committee members, thank you.
All right, I would like to see next our Lincoln County folks and our Lake Benton Superintendent, Mr. Delaney, and Mr. Ben Overbeck. And there are two bills in your packet in this area, members. And they do two different things. We would probably deal with one of them. You know, depending on which one we like best. So,
Madam Chair and Committee, which bill are you taking first?
I think I will start with House File 3075,
okay,
and I will
you.
Move that before the committee.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members, for your time today. And I'm here for two bills. With me are members from the Lake Benton and Ivanhoe districts and the superintendents of Lake Benton. This is Lincoln County, and Madam Chair, we spoke about this in February, and you know where we are in the state of Minnesota, so we don't have to spend time acquainting folks on the map. In Lincoln County, there's a tremendous amount of renewable energy potential, and our proposal here today is similar to the one received in 2000 for the Grand Meadow District, K-12 enrollment of around 365. The student enrollment we're talking about here is the same. And in 2000 bonding, there was $3 million appropriated for an innovative school grant in the form of a monolithic dome school. And that's down by the Rochester, Owatonna area. I am proposing that we utilize that again and ask for $4 million in the bonding bill this year for a school utilizing renewable energy sources to cut down on fixed costs and rising costs for heating and cooling and electricity for rural districts as a model for other rural schools where the renewable resources are to make this request one that could be used by other districts in the future. And with me is Board Chair from Ivanhoe, Norm Van Overbeek, and Board Chair from Lake Benton, Daryl Busselman. And with that, I'll let them describe what we're after, and we'll move to the second bill and take questions either way you want to do it.
All right.
Good afternoon, and thank you very much, Madam Chair and members of the committee. Give you a little bit of background on...
Please introduce yourself.
Norm Van Overbeck, Board Chair, Ivanhoe. To give you a little bit of background, Ivanhoe and Lake Benton have been working together for a number of years, but in the past couple of years we got serious about actually wanting to become one. In the handout that should have been in your packet, we talked a little bit about part of the reason this came about. We've had community members and school board meetings, and we looked at our aging buildings, looking from the standpoint of what made financial sense. The Ivanhoe building is probably in the top five of the oldest school buildings in Minnesota. Lake Benton is in the, one of the top 15. We have square footage totaling approximately 155,000 square feet with tremendous remodeling costs in the neighborhood of around $12 million for those two to bring things up to code. We come together to decide on putting together a new school that square footage would be approximately 94,000. We knew from past experience the Buffalo Ridge area, the 6-7 schools that had been working together and fell apart every time we started talking about which towns were going to allow their school to close because we did not need all the buildings. The thing that Lake Bend and Ivanhoe had decided to do was we closed both of ours and build new in the middle. It's on County Road 15 and Highway 75. Ivanhoe is located on Highway 19, approximately 20 miles west of Marshall. Lake Benton is on Highway 75 and 14, approximately 38 miles north of Pipestone and 14 miles south of Ivanhoe. This puts us roughly 19 miles from Hendricks, 18 miles from Tyler, and as you can see on the information we passed out earlier, we did have a consolidation building bond issue December 8th of this past year. The vote was such that all questions had to be answered with a yes. It turned out that both districts actually passed consolidation, but the bonding issue on the building was not passed in the Lake Benton district. It's the intent of both boards to come back with another vote, but the reason we're here is we just need a little help getting over the hump. It was the bonding issue that we had was $16 million. That's $8 million apiece for the two districts. Give you a little idea of the size of what we're dealing with. Ivanhoe has approximately 200 students, K-12. Lake Benton has approximately 200 students, K-12. So as you can see, we're not dealing with big numbers, but we're dealing with trying to get the building issue behind us so we can concentrate on the curriculum and take advantage of the items that we have in Lincoln County to do more with curriculum with the energy and those types of things. So,
Mr.
with that, I'll turn it over to Darrell Busselman, the chair of the Lake Benton Board.
Can I just ask you one question? You project 400, well, there are currently 400 students. Have you looked to see, are you going to be continuing to lose students?
The enrollment projections, basically the school was designed for 366 students, and that number came about because that's the exact number we had in enrollment at the time of when the plan was put together and when we went to the state for the review and comment. Our projected enrollment is pretty well stabilizing. There's going to be some decline, but not near as dramatic as it has been the last few years. Actually, the elementary grades in some cases have a slight increase. So I think we're through the worst of the decline over the past 5, 6, 7 years.
Thank you, sir.
Madam Chair?
Yes, please introduce yourself for the record.
Thank you. My name is Darrell Hussman. I'm the chair of the Lake Benton Board. I believe Norm probably touched on majority of the bullets that are covered in your handout. The one issue that we're facing, the fire marshal, are both of our buildings, again, they're 1917, 1923 buildings, are coming up against state code and some state violations as far as fire protection. That has somewhat prompted this to move forward quickly. We had to file a report with the fire marshal by March 1st, and that has been done. We haven't seen all the numbers coming back. Some would argue that two districts in Lincoln County aren't big enough, and I don't think there's anybody sitting here that would advocate any differently. But the one comment I would make is that Ivanhoe and Lake Benton boards have moved together because those are the two partners that were willing to move together. The school, the location of the school is in the country, and it's centrally located fairly close to the center of Lincoln County to allow opportunity for districts down the road, to, if they so choose, to participate. I realize you're up against the time schedule, so perhaps a question and answer would be more beneficial than to listen to me.
All right.
Excuse me. Now, if I may, Superintendent Delaney has joined us, and he's got some input to add.
Okay.
Top of the day.
Mr. Delaney.
I would like to introduce myself. My name is William Delaney, Superintendent of Lake Benton and Principal. And I was born and raised and grew up in Lake Benton, so I also came back to God's country. Madam Chair of Representatives, one of the things in the bill that I feel speaks volumes is we've got best practices in the classrooms of what we do, but we don't really have a lot of best practices for construction of schools. And this is sort of our focus, trying to put together what is the best, most energy efficient way we can construct, operate, and maintain a school in this state. By combining two school districts in our hopeful consolidation, which we intend to work on, we look at that as a savings to the state of Minnesota in the duplication of efforts, and again, that's our one of our focuses. We believe the students come first, and that was some of the reasons we've put aside our turf issues and where the school and why we need a school in our town and not yours. We said everybody's going to give up. We're going to start fresh and work as equal partners, and that's one thing both boards have been very effective in trying to maintain that. We've worked with some of the partners in energy efficiency, working with, we just so happen, we've got Otter Tail Power and our local Rural Electric Association in the area, and again, just so happens without our intentional plan, the site that we selected is served by both of those utilities. Both those utilities are very excited to have us as a partner to the effect that in the area where we reside in southwestern Minnesota, the wind does blow, and it does blow on a pretty regular basis, and consequently, the utilization of wind, the utilization of geothermal, the utilization of other forms of energy resources that we can best implement into a school, such as windows, insulation, natural lighting, heating. Those are the focuses of our aspects here today.
All right. And is there anything else?
On this bill, I'm not sure. Just to the committee and Madam Chair, it's more than just a wind turbine. Like Senator, Superintendent Delaney mentioned, it would utilize as many sources as the money could pay for, and I think it would be consumed, and then it would be a model for those schools, at least in the western third and the southern third of the state, that are the ones that have declining enrollment issues, have population loss, and all the dynamics and the consequences that we talk about in other policy domains in the state. And with the announcement of higher wind feasibility across a larger part of the state of Minnesota as the industry expands, I do think this is a way for other schools to cut down on their fixed costs over large districts that travel hundreds and hundreds of miles every day with buses and gas. And, you know, the Lincoln County has the highest percentage of people in the Soybean Growers Association, and I'm sure they would be quite able to help with biodiesel backup and geothermal. The firm in my district constructs these geothermal heat pumps. Otter Tail and the local electric co-op are competing for this opportunity, if you will. He didn't say that, but that's what I call it. I think the bonding bill is an appropriate vehicle to ask for the money in, and there is precedence for a school this size in the 2000 bonding bill. This has been done before, and I appreciate your full consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Peterson. Thank you, Representative Peterson. All right, what I'm looking at here is House File 2988. I think, I'm not sure that all of you need to be here for the presentation of that bill. Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And at this point, we're going to be joined by Vernay Hasbergen from the Rural Education Association to talk about what in my part of the state is called the Lacqua-Parle Valley bill. And it's been used five times, and $30 million has been appropriated to five schools, Lacqua-Parle Valley, Minnewaska, Blue Earth, Grant County, and Atwater Cosmos Grove City. The last time it was done was 1994, according to my information. With that, I'll give it to Brene.
And that would be, you know, as briefly as you can, because we have, believe it or not, two more bills.
Madam Chairman and members, Renee Hasbergen, Minnesota Rural Education Association. I will be very brief, but I did want to underscore.
And I appreciate that. Thank you.
What an important tool this bill is to our organization, and I want to thank Representative Peterson for the work that he did on it. Ultimately, what you have in front of you is a one-sheet brief that shows the co-op secondary facilities grants that have been granted in the past. A couple things to notice. There were 19 districts in the course of history that were consolidated down into five units through the use of bonding dollars as an incentive to force those consolidations. But as you'll also notice, the last time we did one was in the 1994 bonding bill. And the most important thing I want to emphasize to you today is how important it is that we go back to this policy as a tool to help incent further consolidations in Mount Rural Minnesota. Because in the 10 years since we've had this law, there's been incredible declining enrollment. So whereas the language in the original bill was for secondary schools, now we're down to thinking K-12, and the proposal in front of you from Ivanhoe and Lake Benton would be for a K-12 facility. And it also requires consolidation of these two districts before we move ahead. Last year you wanted administrative and financial consolidation. This takes consolidation to a whole other point, and we would really urge you to use this carrot. Secondly, you don't really save money until you start closing school buildings. And the sort of the good news of the plan before you in this specific project is that there are two old school buildings to be closed and one new, much smaller and more modern building to be opened. What this law in front of you, this language change, would do is provide a carrot to other districts in the same situation to start looking at closing buildings. And when you have the carrot of the co-op grant program and the carrot of CNC, cooperation and consolidation, back in the mid-80s to the mid-90s, we went from having 435 school districts down to 335 in about that 10-year stretch. So the carrot worked. So on behalf of the state, you have the potential here to save a lot of money. Let me just add one final point. Next Tuesday, you're going to be discussing debt service equalization and why that formula isn't working so well right now. We gave up this co-op grant program in the mid-90s because we thought we had maximum effort, our capital loans, and we had debt service equalization. And we thought those were the only two tools we would really need in order to build facilities out there. Well, without debt service equalization working, in other words, three quarters of the districts in the state no longer even qualify for debt service equalization, we need to have this tool added to the toolbox again. Plus, it brings you the advantages of consolidation and closing sites. So, Madam Chair, please, we urge your adoption of this particular bill.
Ms. Hasbergen, are there any other districts that you know of at this point in time that would want the same thing that you're asking for in 2988? Are there any other districts looking at it?
Madam Chair, I would not know that. Perhaps a staff does, or the department can answer that question for you. I'm sorry, I don't know that.
Can you nod your head no? Yes, there are. All right, would you come up very quickly, please? I'm having a lot of trouble moving anything along here today. We are going to take up the Abrams bill next, however, and we will run a little late to do that. Thank you, Ms. Hasbergen. Mr. Reiber.
Representatives, my name is John Reiber with the Department of Education. There are a number of other school districts who would like to do consolidations, but they are just tied up with the same types of things that Lake Benton and Ivanhoe are encountering at this time, especially in the southwestern part of the state. As far as giving you the exact school districts, I know Tyler, Russell, Ruthven is one. They are going into consolidation. Referendum vote coming up here fairly soon. We just had one that went through with Plainview, in the Plainview area. And there are others out there that I can't list them off now because they're talking about it. They haven't submitted anything.
Okay.
And so until that time comes, this has to remain as is.
Mr. Ryberg, how long would the fire marshal wait, for instance, before they would be forced to upgrade to meet the fire marshal requirements?
Well, they've already been given a stay of execution maybe three times.
Oh, now I know what you're holding that up for.
The fire marshals have been extremely patient and have been very flexible in allowing extra time. But they also have statutes and guidelines that they must to abide by, and they have stretched them way beyond that which they should have had. But we are trying to make things palatable for the school districts in knowing that the buildings, when you start putting this kind of money into it, when you look at a 20-year note, at the end of 20 years, you still have an old building. And you still have a lot of the same problems and the same conditions with life cycling out that you presently have and that presently exist.
Thank you, sir. Are there any further questions? Quickly, Representative Greiling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First of all, I'd just like to thank you. I've never seen this before where we have all the Democrat bills before the Republican bills, and I definitely plan to stick around and hear the Republican bills as well. And these are, of course...
And believe me, we would appreciate that.
Okay. And I just want to put in a good word, actually, for both of these bills. I compliment Representative Peterson on combining his interest in energy with coming up with an education bill that I think is very appealing. This one about what can we do to encourage efficiencies in the small school district, I think, you know, the time has come for us to have a really serious discussion about that. And as a former school board member myself, I can just imagine what it must take to get two school boards and two communities with all the pride of community to work together. And I think anything we can do to further that hard process along, as well as in the long term, have a safer building for students and to be more cost effective, we should take a serious look at. So thank you.
Representative Heidgerken, do you still have a question?
Thank you. Yes, I do.
I overlooked you.
Thank you. I just have a comment. First of all, to Representative Greiling's comment, I've never looked upon any education bill as being Democrat or Republican. I have always looked at it for the kids, and I don't think we need to put a party label there. But being that said, again, Representative Pearson, thank you. I'm very familiar with your situation. We used to have, and I don't know if Tim Strump could probably correct me on it, are there still monies available for consolidation? I know that the governor last year, if you remember, one of his key components of the education proposal he had last year was administrative districts. And this goes beyond that. This is where the governor wants these rural schools to be at. And I know that there used to be a lot of money for consolidation. Are there still a pool of funding available?
Mr. Strong.
Representative Heidgerken. Yes, there's a formula that provides up to $300 per pupil for consolidating school districts. And that funding, we make an estimate of what's needed, but that program is still on the books.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you very much. And, you know, that and plus looking at the debt issue, debt equalization issue, perhaps can be of help to you.
Right.
So thank you very much for being here. We are going to move on. Representative Abrams and the McPhail Center. I haven't seen Representative Abrams in the room yet. Is he here?
We're told he's on his way.
Why don't you just go ahead? I will move the bill. And your bill is House File Number 2987, and this is for some money for, I guess, startup dollars for building of a new McPhail Center of Music. And I think the case that you need to make, Mr. O'Fallon, is why is this a statewide project? That's one of the things that we look at here.
Thank you, Madam Chairman and members. I'm David O'Fallon. I'm the president of McPhail Center for Music. And I will tell you exactly why this is a statewide project and what you get for it. Here's the nutshell version. We're asking for $5 million to complete a $25 million project. We've already raised 14.7, so the state is coming last into this. This is not startup. We're ready to go, actually. McPhail is a music education center that serves 6,700 students, 46 community partnerships, literally from the Canadian border down to Iowa. You have, I think many of you have already seen this kind of blue folder, a packet inside here. I'm sure that given the press of time, I won't have to convince you of the power of music to help young people learn. I do want you to know, however, that we had, oh, here's Representative Abrams, who may want to put in a good word for this project.
You really think you might?
Pardon?
You really think you might want to put in a good word?
We hope so, yes, indeed. Representative.
Representative, we started without you, and I know we're running terribly late.
No, that's fine, Madam Chair. I think that the information that the advocates can get you will be important. Now, why did I sign onto this bill and agree to be the chief author? Well, there are a number of very good reasons. This is, above everything else, an education bill. The McPhail Center for the Arts has not only a mission for music education in the city of Minneapolis, but as I'm sure you'll hear, has facilities in Blaine and Apple Valley, and in fact has alliances throughout the state. When we talk about alliances for McPhail, it's not a question of some group coming in for a two-hour visit. This is real programs with real kids getting a real education. That's first. Second, I think that what ought to be important from a policy point of view is that this project is ready to go. If the $5 million gets through the legislature, McPhail will be in the ground on July 1st. Third, again, the leverage in this project, which we ought to be looking at, is greatly exceeds the leverage for a lot of other projects in higher education or any sort of education, in which it's going to be a 4-to-1 match of private and corporate sector dollars with public sector. So others can speak a little bit better about the programming that's currently at McPhail. I'll point out that my wife is a graduate of some programs at McPhail. Nancy Carlson Nelson, or Nancy Nelson Carlson, was in her classes. So my wife could have ended up doing infomercials with Ron Popeil if she had only stayed with it. But
all right.
But the education programs are beyond first rate. They are nation setting, and I would commend the testifier to. Is that all the good words you need, or do you need more?
That's wonderful.
All right. Shall we hear from your are they students?
If I may introduce them and provide a little context for them. We have two very important visitors today that make two key points about McPhail. With us today is Darcy Reese, a music educator from Thief River Falls, and two of her students. Because in terms of statewide reach, Madam Chair and members, McPhail has had a long-term program with Thief River Falls. It is one example of McPhail's statewide partnership. We use the word partnership specifically to mean week after week, month after month, year after year work with schools, school districts, homeless shelters, transitional housing, music therapy, and early childhood education. And in terms of early childhood education, we have with us today Lynn Gabriel with one of the youngest students at McPhail. Lynn drives in from Victoria, 30 to 40 minutes, 20 miles, weekly to bring her young child to early childhood at McPhail. We have 1,300 students served by McPhail in early childhood education. So for $5 million against the $25 million project, the benefit to the state is enormous. So I'd love to have Darcy Reese speak for just a moment about the impact up in Thief River Falls, if I may, Madam Chair and members.
All right.
Darcy?
We have about 5 minutes remaining,
all right,
or we will be kicked out of here.
I understand. We'll be very brief.
Thank you. I appreciate you being here, and I'm so sorry we're rushed. But it was not our fault.
That's okay. I can talk very fast. You'll learn that quickly. My name is Darcy Reese. I'm a 19-year veteran at Lincoln High School. I'm the choral director up there. Being that far north, 6 hours north of the Twin Cities area, you have to be quite creative in dealing with arts issues and making it interesting for your students. I have been dealing with the McPhail faculty since 1997, and when they talked about not having just a two-hour residency, I can definitely talk about that. These people come up there for week-long residencies. We had a three-year plan with McPhail where we had 6 to 7 artists work with our students every year for a three-year basis, worked on them with music theory, with composition, with performance, singing, piano, various instruments, and these people traveled from Minneapolis up north to work with our kids, an education that would never have been able to take place if I wouldn't have had that connection with McPhail. And I'm really pressed for time. I would like the two girls on either side of me, which are students of mine, which have been dealing with people from McPhail.
Thank you. Madam Chair, my name is Mandy Thompson. I'm a junior at Lincoln High School in Thief River Falls. Living in a small community 6 hours north of here and being given the opportunity to work with artists at McPhail has opened up our musical minds in ways that none other northern schools have experienced.
Madam Chair, I'm Tevye Reese, a junior at Lincoln High School. For me personally, working with McPhail has opened my mind to many musical opportunities, which living in Thief River and far away from the Twin Cities normally doesn't happen.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your comments and your brevity.
They've made, as you can tell, an enormous commitment, as many people do, because of the benefit of the program. The other point I'd like to make, that for the state's investment in a music education center, which is what McPhail is, and especially in part of our program is the early childhood program, and we have a mother with us today, Lynn Gabriel. Lynn, would you just say a word or two, please, about your experience? This is going to be tricky.
Welcome, Ms. Gabriel.
Hi, Madam Chair. Thank you for having us. As he said, my name is Lynn Gabriel. I'm a mom of Blake. He's 3 years old, and he's been attending McPhail since he was 6 weeks old, and his little sister, Faith, is one, and she's been attending McPhail since she was 2 weeks old. And I can personally tell you that the early childhood music program that McPhail has is unbelievable. The education that we've received using music as a tool, I mean, the education is so much more than just music. It's the tool. It's the tool that they use to educate these kids, and I've learned so much about brain development and, you know, their development and teaching. I think of the ABCs. We all learn the ABCs through a song, and so it's just a fabulous tool. We love McPhail. Thank you for your time.
And thank you very much for being here. I apologize again for having to rush you through this.
Understood.
But I think...
Can I make two closing comments, Madam Chair?
Sure.
Very briefly. In your packet, there's a report Carol Levin did on the impact of music upon learning at Whittier School. And the only other thing that I'd emphasize, again, is the efficiency of this investment by the state in McPhail, the $5 million against $20 million that we are raising, and we're more than halfway there. And there is no tail to this project. We're a $6 million a year organization. We're earning 70% of it. We will continue exactly that kind of ratio. We are not coming back to the state for operating money. Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
Very good, Mr. O'Fallon. With that, I think that's a good closing. Thank you all for being here. Representative Zellers, if you're in the room, we will hear your bill tomorrow after the State of the State. There's another meeting that we're sort of being aced out of tomorrow, but I'm sure the State of the State won't go all the way till 2. So we will hear that bill then. So thank you. We are adjourned.